Can't tell you enough how important that is. Even sometimes when you don't feel like you want to be here, you need to be here. Amen? Amen. If you have your Bibles, you want to open up to Luke 15. We're going back and getting into our journey with Jesus with our finances. And we're looking at different scriptures where Jesus was speaking and he was talking about something financial. And I love this story. And I love the fact that Jesus used a woman as an illustration in one of his parables. Because in those days, you know, women were not highly thought of. And so I think it's awesome that he took the time to use a woman to illustrate. Go Jesus, right? Not talking about women's lib. I'm just talking about he was just telling women, you're important. Because they were pretty beat down in those days. And in Luke 15, and we're going to start in verse 8, and it says, or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one, does not light a lamp, sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Luke 15, Richard. Is that what you're asking me about? Luke 15, 8? I'm reading it right out of Luke 15, 8. It's there, I promise. So Luke, and I was researching this because it's okay, Richard, I forgive you. He's looking on a tiny phone, that's why. I was researching this because having 10 silver coins, there's nothing ever by accident. There's always a reason why something is stated in Scripture. And 10 silver coins, what is that? What is 10 silver coins? I found out it's the Greek word for drachma. That doesn't sound very appealing, but it actually is something very significant. It was a sign of a married woman. 10 silver coins was called a drachma. It was worn as a necklace or as a headdress. Each of these silver coins represented a day's worth of wages. So if she has 10 days' wages that she's wearing on herself, That's saying something. Amen? I mean, girls, can you imagine wearing 10 days' wages, for those of us who are married, of your husband's earnings, 10 days' wages on you somewhere? Well, nowadays it would be paper, and you might look kind of like a peacock or something feathery, right? Because you'd have all this paper. That'd be a lot, right? And we look at it as, 10 silver coins. In those days, it was a lot of money. It was a full day's wage, okay? And so Jesus is using, again, like I said, he's using something people can relate to because there were a lot of married men that he was speaking to, right? And so you can just pretty much assume that when he said, it's like a woman who loses one of her silver coins, they all went, yeah, I know what my wife would do. She'd tear the whole house apart, right? Because that was kind of their social status. It was their eliteness that I am a married woman, right? What do we call that now that we wear? Our rings, right? And so when you misplace your rings, girls, we laugh about her one silver coin, but when you misplace your ring, I can guarantee you, you are searching high and low. I remember one time my sister-in-law was in, excuse me today, I'm not sure what's going on. She was in Old Navy, and she was going through a bunch of clothes. She had lost a little bit of weight, forgotten she had taken her ring off that morning and left it at home, and thought she lost it at Old Navy while she was digging through all the sales stuff. That girl tore that store apart. I mean, tore that store apart, thinking that she had lost it there, right? So when you lose something, especially something like this, it was a cherished jewelry, and it said, really, it didn't even matter what the value of the coins were to these women. It was considered to them priceless. It was priceless to her. Whether it had monetary value or not, to this woman, these 10 silver coins were priceless. And so it says that she diligently searched. She lit her lamp. I've always thought that it must have been nighttime when she lost it. Anybody else thought that? It was night. She lit a lamp. Upon further research, see, we often don't realize what's going on in that part of the world. They had one door most of the time. For most people, it was one door. There were not windows. And so in order to have light in your home, you had to light a lamp. The light from the door is only going to go so far. And then we think of her sweeping. I'm sure everybody else like me is thinking linoleum, you know, well, maybe some wood. It was dirt. It was a dirt floor. And so those coins, if they were lost, have you ever dropped a coin in dirt before? I don't care how hard packed that you think it is. It can get lost super easily. So her search was not just one of, everybody look around on the floor. Do you see it? Anybody see it? No, she's sweeping. Okay, so have you ever swept dirt before? I've done that while I'm camping before. You know, trying to get all the rocks off the area. Do you ever really truly sweep dirt? No, you just make more of it, right? It just puffs. And so her search is frantic. And do we read that she stops searching because she couldn't find it at first? No. It says she kept searching until she found it. And when she found it, she called all of her friends and said, hey, rejoice with me. My lost coin is found. I can totally understand her excitement in this. One time when Pastor Steve and I were first married, I think it was our fourth or fifth month of being married, we had gone with my family to the Snake River, and it was really, really hot that year, and I was a couple months pregnant with Lacey, and so we were sitting in, there's like this creek, little river that ran by one of the parks we used to stay in, and so Pastor Steve and I were sitting in the river just, you know, hanging out and getting cool, and he had worn his wedding ring, but what happens to your hands when they get in cold water? They shrink. And so we're sitting there, and we're just talking and watching some of my foster brothers and sisters play. And all of a sudden, I looked over him, and he had this sick look on his face. And he pulled his hand up, and he said, my ring just fell off. I was like, don't move. Just stay right there. So the kids were snorkeling and stuff, and so I was like, guys, bring us some of your snorkeling stuff. And so we had all the kids. We were seriously going through every ounce of the area around him, right? And so we kept going and kept going and kept going, and it was getting longer and longer and longer, and felt more hopeless and more hopeless. And so we come from a family where when you lose something, you pray about it. So we prayed. The foster kids, my parents, Steve and I, we all stopped and we prayed. So Steve got up from where he was sitting, because we kind of made a little marker where we could know where he had been at. And my dad's like, I want to try one more time. And so he put the little snorkeling things on, and he's just laying on top of the water, moving like this, right? Well, we had all been looking right where he was, not taking into effect the movement of the water. And so my dad, now you have to understand, how many of you ever been in a river or a creek before? Do you think it's easy to find the same rock that you just had in your hand that you dropped back in? No. Because there are boulders and cracks and crevices. This was, like this woman who was sweeping her dirt floor, near to impossible, right? And my dad comes up out of the water and he goes, got it. He found it. There was rejoicing in our home. We were shouting and we were praising and we were giving this life illustration to the foster kids. This is why you never give up. You pray and the Lord will direct you. He'll guide you. It was a life lesson, even for them. This is a life lesson for us. And Jesus is using something we can all relate to, a precious or valuable thing to you, that when you lose it, you keep searching and searching until you find it. You don't give up. You keep searching and searching and searching until you find it. And when you do, you are on the phone, you're texting, you're tweeting, you're emailing, whatever it is, you're letting everybody know, remember that thing that I lost? I found it, right? It was a priceless value to her. This is the illustration that Jesus is using to help us to remember what our passion and our heart should be for the lost. So today, as you give your tithes and offerings, and you're thinking about your priceless valuables that you have, that if they were ever to be lost, how much your heart would just, it would keep looking and looking, and you wouldn't want to give up until you found it. Amen? This is the same passion. This is the same drive. This is the same never giving up that Jesus is talking to the people about about the lost. I know our tithes and our offerings and our finances are important to us. And they were important to Jesus. He understood that. But he was saying, but we need to keep our priorities straight. The same passion that you have in paying off bills should be the same passion that you have when you pray for people that are lost. And are you praying for the people in your life that are lost? Ask yourself this question. Do I pray the same for the people in my life that don't know Jesus as I do about my finances? Ouch. I had to say ouch this week. Ouch. But you know what? It's so awesome. God is so good. These are his gentle reminders to us to say, hey, all right, let's get back on track. Finances are awesome, but I got this. Did she find her coin? Yes. Yes. Your finances are going to be taken care of. Amen? So trusting him with all your heart. Again, there's that trust part again. But let's make a focus this week. Let's challenge ourselves. Not stop praying about your finances. Jesus isn't saying finances aren't important. That's not it. But let's say, as much as we pray for our finances, let's pray for the people in our lives that are lost. Amen? Amen? Amen. This is not a shout and run, right? You're like, oh, yeah, amen. That's okay, I did it too when I was talking to the Lord. I was, ow, ow, ow. But the awesome part is where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And we want with all of our hearts, for our hearts, to have their home with the Lord. Amen? Money can't be your God if your focus is the Lord. Amen? Amen. All right, grab your tithes and offerings. Father, we just thank you so much. I thank you, Jesus, that you used parables to describe things for us that be so easy to understand. Ah, yes, I get what you're saying. If I were to lose my wedding ring or if I were to lose a sum of money, I would be searching for it. Yes. And you helped us to see that illustration to be able to know how to pray for the lost, that we should have that same diligence and that same passion when we pray for them. And Father, I just thank you that you do care about our finances. You care so much about everything that concerns us, but you also want us to keep our hearts right and focused with what you have and your plans and your purposes. And our job, Father, is to be a light to the world around us. And, Father, to pray for those who don't know you. So that not just to pray for them, but to pray so that when they come across our path, that we can have the right words to say to them that will penetrate their hearts and minds. And it might even be a financial story. It might even be how we recovered something in our lives that was lost that we can share with them. But as we pray and we spend time with you, about those people in our lives that don't know you. Father, we thank you and we praise you that you give us ideas and ways to say things that we may have never thought before. And I thank you, Father, that just as that woman found that 10th silver coin, Father, just as we found the Steve's ring in the river, just as we found things in our lives that we thought were lost, God, we are going to start finding people that are lost and they're going to come into the kingdom of God. I believe this year is their year. Every other year in the past, we leave that behind. Today is the day of salvation. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And in those days, houses weren't just considered just immediate family. It was the big family. And that's what we speak, the big family. Each of us has families that goes beyond just us. Brothers, sisters, nieces, nephews, aunts, uncles, cousins, second cousins, third cousins. God, as for us and our houses, Father, they are going to serve the Lord. And we just thank you, Father. Every time, challenge us, every time, Father, we go to pray for our finances, we would stop and say, oh, wait a minute. Thank you, Lord, that you are bringing in my unsaved loved ones. Thank you that you are bringing in my unsaved friends and that this is their year. And we thank you, Father, for this. And we just pray you bless every seed that's sown today. An abundant harvest, hundredfold harvest, Father, so we can continue to give to every good work. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Richard, and do the tithes and offerings. And as he's coming, I wanted to remind you, our families in need, we have an account for families that we find out about. They could be in the church. They could be people that we know. If families that we find out about who are in a financial need. And we have an account set aside so that we are able to give. Bible says, be ready to give to every good work. And so we are ready to give when the Lord opens up that door. And so if you have any extra that you'd like to give toward that, please be praying and asking the Lord what that amount is. As we said last week, we are living to give in 2020. Waking up every day saying, Lord, where can we give to today? Amen.
Praise God. Happy New Year, everybody. The Lord is so good. He's so good. He's so good. And he's got a good word for us today. Amen. Does anybody like going to a good restaurant where you get good food? Ever been to a bad restaurant? Where maybe you just walked into the bathroom and turned around and left? It's like, that's all I need to see. If this is how the bathroom looks, how must the kitchen look? Right? Oh, praise God. You know, we went to New Orleans earlier this year, or I guess middle of last year. And, you know, God bless the people. They just don't quite, some of them have the concept of being clean. And you didn't really have a choice. A lot of the restaurants there, that's just what you do. You wipe down your own table. You want it clean, you wipe it down. We'll bring you your food. You know, amen. But praise God, I believe that you're in a good restaurant this morning. Amen. That serves a good, nourishing meal. Praise God. And I'm just blessed to be here. And I'm so honored that you guys are here. Amen. It encourages us. And we want to encourage you. Praise the Lord. In your faith. And so just thank you for coming to church and being here. We love you. We just appreciate you. And it's encouraging because it shows us there's a hunger for the Lord. You know, a lot of folks have a negative attitude about the Northwest and for a variety of reasons. Well, don't you dare try to have a church in the Northwest. Well, what if the Lord said, have a church in the Northwest? And in myself, I would say these words, well, just don't try to then have a faith church in the Northwest, right? because you know, a lot of folks have issues with the faith message. But the Lord said, I want you to have a faith church in the Northwest, a victory church, prosperity church, a healing church, a holy, we just call it a word church, the word of God. Well, who decides what that is? Well, that's why you have a pastor. That's why we got the Holy Ghost. Amen. And but I believe you're in a good restaurant with good cooking. You just heard some of it this morning with Pastor Shelley. And God's got a plan. Amen. Well, let's pray over this word. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us today. We rejoice and thank you for the marvelous things you're doing already this year, God, for the work you're doing in the world. God, we just intercede, Lord God, again for our nation right now. We speak your peace and your plan over our nation. We thank you, Lord God, for removing that Iranian leader this recently, Lord God, and for the peace that that's going to bring to the world, Lord God. We just thank you, Lord, for your word that you already spoke prophetically, that this is a year of change and that your enemies basically are going down, Lord. And we saw that. We saw that, Lord. And God, I just thank you for it. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you for the heart of our president, God, for his heart, Lord God. I thank you for continuing to use him and his administration. God, we also pray for Nancy Pelosi and Schumer and all the anyone who's on the liberal side of things, Lord God. We pray for them, Lord, to know you, to be saved, to be delivered, to be healed, to be well, Lord God, to be blessed, Lord Jesus. Especially those, Lord, who are born again but are just not living that way, not leading that way is maybe a better way to say it. That, Lord, you would convict us all, Lord God, to live according to your words on both political parties, any political side of things, Lord God, that people would be saved. And we declare the United States of America saved, saved, saved. That we are acting according to your word, Lord God, in everything that we do. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I feel stirred this year as the Lord really prompted on me that this, our theme for the year is going to be fellowship. Somebody say fellowship. Fellowshipping with Jesus. Fellowshipping with one another. Amen. The body is the body of Christ, and we want to fellowship with the Lord. How do we do that? Praying, being in the Word. But I feel like there's some things. Everybody heard that term? There's, you know, outward signs of an inward work, right? And that's true. And so I feel like the Lord's going to have us throughout the year studying on things that will help us in our fellowship with the Lord. And the first thing I believe he wanted me to lead off with is, why do we come to church? Now, you've heard that term, well, you're preaching to the choir, right? Well, I've been in the choir, and I needed preaching. That's, in fact, why I joined the choir, because I thought, man, I need to get close to the fire, so I'm going to join the choir, because then it's more likely this thing will stick, what I know God wants to do in me, amen? And it's good to remember some things, reasons, biblical reasons why you're in church today. Amen? And as I was doing some research yesterday and some Google images, I found one, and it said across the top, 8 reasons why I'm not going to church this week, or something like that, in those words. I was interested. I was like, wow, okay. Clicked on it. Basically, sweet gal, I mean, totally, you know, legitimate reasons why she's not going to church. 5 kids, lives an hour away from the building, the closest church, all these kind of things. But then she started going into, I just feel like it's a waste of time. I'm frustrated when I go. I'm frustrated when I get home. It takes half the day to get there. You know, it's like, you know, she just wasn't seeing the value of going to church, right? Amen. And she was speaking from her heart. And a lot of people now with social media just blast stuff out there, right? Amen. And there were some interesting responses to her blog and a lot of very, very good responses, you know. But the point is, as a church, as believers, we need to know why we're here. Amen. And in my study, I found 26 things. And I know that's not all. But 26, let me just say it this way, 26 reasons why I'm in church today. And I didn't even know some of them. It's like, wow, that's a good reason, and that's a good reason, and that's a, it's like benefits of coming to church. Amen? Coming to church. Going to church. Not church on the river, not church, you know, at home, whatever. Coming to church. Praise God. Whose idea was the church? Somebody say, God's idea. Right? It wasn't a denomination's idea or a pastor's idea or, you know, some group of people's idea. Church was invented by the Lord. Praise God. And I shared with you, you know, at the turn of the year, I was seeking God on my own personal devotion times and how, you know, I like to ask the Lord, do you want us to change anything? And I was like, do we need to simplify and just have the Bible, forget all the notes and all this kind of stuff? And he spoke to me and he said, you know, son, nothing that you're doing is for my benefit. And it was like this fire lit. I'm going to get even more crazy this year in my time with Jesus. I mean, I've got a notebook. I still haven't finished going through my prayer outline for the year. Just, I'm going to be more detailed. 2020 is about vision, double vision, clear vision. Amen. So write the vision and make it plain. Praise God, right? And so the Lord is leading us into these ways. But we need to look at why church. Why church? How many? Anybody ever heard anybody tell you, well, what are you doing that for? Why do you, all they want is your money. All, you know, hypocrites, you name it. Right? Amen. Let's find out what the Word says, and let's live accordingly. Amen? Or at least have a deeper understanding of why we're here. A little more expectation when we come to church. Praise God. Well, Hebrews 10, 24, and 25, I got 2 foundation texts, and one of them is Hebrews 10, 24, 25, and it says this, let us consider one another. That's a good reason to come to church, isn't it? It's not just for me. That sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? Did he do what he did just for him? No. No. You can't improve on perfection. Can you, right? Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day, capital D, day, approaching. Somebody say, he's coming back. He's coming back. That is a great foundation text for some great benefits, reasons why we're in church. Most of us probably know that one, right? Ezekiel 47, this is the one I was trying to think of last week. Amen. In terms of fellowship, but I want to read to you the first 12 verses in Ezekiel 47. And it says this: Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. Somebody say water flowing. And water resembles the word, resembles the anointing, represents rather, the word represents the anointing. So we're looking at the word water. And where did it say it was flowing out of? Somebody say the temple. Amen? Flowing toward the east, for the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate, led me around the outside to the outer gateway that faces the east, where there was water running. Somebody say water running. Out on the right side. When the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits and brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. Somebody say, up to my ankles. This might be the Easter and Christmas Christians. Right? Ankle deep. Praise God. That's better than not being saved at all. Amen? But after ankle deep, man, it ain't comfortable. And, you know, some swimming pools are like this. After the ankles, man, it gets uncomfortable. The legs, the chest, you know, just like, right? Till you get used to it. Amen. Well, here we go. Somebody say, I don't have to stay ankle deep in my fellowship with God, right? Somebody say, it's up to me how deep I want to go. See, a lot of people think God just decides everything. Well, no, he's left things up to you and to me. And like Shelley was sharing about the wedding ring story, there it is. Praise the Lord. 20 years in a month. Praise God. 20-year anniversary, February 5th. Hallelujah. And we were there at the river, and Dad found it. He was snorkeling around, and she doesn't remember this, but he didn't. She usually remembers things in more detail than me, but I remember this. Dad said, Steve, come here. Take this and look. And he didn't even touch it. He said, there it is. And what did I do? If you've ever seen Lord of the Rings, where the guy's like, oh, precious. Precious. But you know what? That's a good picture of our Father. He says, son, look at this. There's your healing, but he's not going to get it for you. He already paid for it. He already took care of it, but I have to take it and put it on. He's not going to take it and put it on for me. He'll show me where it is, but he leaves it up to his kids to take what we see in the Word and go after it. Amen? That's a good illustration. Praise the Lord. Now, verse 4, and again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. Somebody say, through the waters. The water came up to my knees. So he's going, what's he doing? He's going deeper. Praise the Lord. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the water, came up to my waist. Now, this is where some believers start getting uncomfortable. Right? Oh, it sounds like someone, why are they lifting their hands? Why are they praying in another language? Why are they moving their feet with the music? Why is there a guitar? Why is a woman speaking? I've had these questions asked me. Do you play guitar in your church? Do you let women speak? I let the Holy Ghost speak. And whether he speaks to a woman or a man is up to him. And up to the woman or man, really, if they're called. Praise the Lord. And he measured 1,000, verse 5, and it was a river I could not cross. Glory to God, right? That's fellowship. That's how deep do you want to go? Sometimes you just got to throw yourself out in the river and let the river carry you. Get in the current and let the current carry you. Glory to God. Because why? Well, let's look and see why, right? It was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. Verse 6, he said to me, son of man, have you seen this? And he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. Then I returned there along the bank of the river where very many trees on one side of the other. And he said to me, verse 8, This water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley, enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. Somebody say healed, right? There's healing in the water. Glory God, right? Verse 9, and it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the rivers go will live. Good reason to be in church. The river's flowing through here. So everything that gets in the river will live. This is, whose idea was this? God's idea. Amen? There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed. Everything will live wherever the river goes. So we can't be out making up our own ideas of what church is. Or I don't need to be there. This is the grace of God or whatever. It's a waste of time. That's a lie. That's a lie. Now you need to believe God for the right church, amen. But don't you know most churches aren't perfect like this one? That's a joke, right? Just get up and go to church. If it talks about the Bible, if they talk about Jesus, if they pray, if they worship, they're preaching the word of God. Man, something supernatural is going to happen in your life. Amen? In college, I went to a Methodist church for a while because I couldn't go anywhere else. I had no car. Really no vision for riding with somebody. A lot of the guys didn't even probably go to church in college, at Christian college I was at. I called it Church of the Walking Distance because I could walk there in Azusa. Amen? And I was blessed. I was blessed. Hallelujah. They didn't know nothing about speaking in tongues or but they were talking about the Jesus I know. People there that generally love God. Genuinely love God. Amen. In verse 10, it shall be that fishermen will stand by it from the En-Gedi to En-Gallim and will be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be of the same kinds as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. Two more verses. But its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. Somebody say, stay out of the swamps and marshes. Amen. Stay out of there. Yeah. Along the bank of the river on this side and that will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither. Their fruit will not fail. See, that's the promise of God to you. Your leaves will not wither. Your fruit will not fail. Why? They will bear fruit every month because their waters flow from the sanctuary. Hallelujah. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for medicine. Glory to God. The church is bringing healing to a nation, to a community, to families, to individuals. Why? Because this is the way God set it up. We don't have to try to figure it out. Just do it, somebody say. Just do it. I don't have to figure out how that little cinnamon roll was put together, but I'm going to enjoy it. I've already enjoyed two before church today. It's okay, they're little, right? Somebody say, stop thinking and start drinking. Jump in the river. Into the Seventh Mountain back in the 70s when I was a little kid with a big blonde afro and afraid of the deep end of the pool. And I would stand out there on the diving board and then, no, I'm going to go back over where it's knee deep. And I'd come back again, yeah, and bounce around. No, I'm going to go back around and the lifeguard is standing there and he's watching this. He goes, hey, son, this real tan guy with the suntan lotion on his nose, you know. You jump in, and if you need me, I'll come get you. I was like, yeah, okay, now the pressure's on, right? And I knew he was I jumped in, and would you know, I floated to the top, got myself out, and the rest is history. The deep end. Somebody say the deep end. The deep end. Just launch yourself into the deep. Get over your head in Jesus. I'll tell you what, when we started this church, it felt over my head. And it still feels over my head, right? But that's good. You know you're doing something in faith if you don't completely feel like you have a grip on it. It's a little out of your control, a little bit out of your range, your training, right? Your understanding. Somebody say jump. jump into the deep, go with the flow of the river. Praise God. These are good passages to remember. Hallelujah. But I want to show you some more things. If that wasn't enough, why church? Here we go. Somebody say, here we go. And I did print them out on paper. You can have them. But I also, because it would take me time to flip to each scripture, so I this morning took a little extra time and just put it on the slides, okay? So why church? Here we go. Number one. And Jesse DePlantis taught me this, right? Because church is where the gates of hell don't prevail, right? Matthew 16, 18. And I also say to you, this is Jesus speaking, that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my what? My church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Somebody say, good reason to be in church. Because church is the only place the gates of hell do not prevail. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at this one. Number two. Why church? Because church is where we praise the Lord, experience his favor, and multiplication. Glory to God. And Acts 2, 46, 47 says this. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, somebody say in the temple, right? And breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Yet more good reasons to be in church. Come in and praise him. Come in and experience his favor. Come in and watch it grow. Somebody say, we're in a growing church. People get saved. People get healed. People get delivered. Hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody say, I'm in the river. Hallelujah. Number three, why church? Because church is where we find God's peace, edification, and comfort. I haven't seen yet one thing about wasting time or... Amen. Somebody say it's about your expectation. What are you expecting? Acts 9:31. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Again, this thing's growing. Somebody say, this thing's growing. Hallelujah. Praise God. The peace of God, the edification, God is building you up, comforting you. These are good reasons to be here. And also, God will use you to bring peace, edification, and comfort to one another. Getting together, praying for each other, you know, these kind of things. The church is being the church, right? Why church? Number four, because church is where God's word, where we are taught God's word and gather together with other Christians. Now, I would dare say most people probably understand that one. You would think if you go to church, you should be taught God's word along with other Christians. Praise. That would be a good definition of church, really, to most people, right? But we shouldn't forget this. This is where it says it right here, Acts 11:26. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Amen? Christians, followers of Jesus Christ. Amen? Why go to church? Because I need to be taught something from the Word. Well, I can learn myself. I got the internet. I got a Bible. Got a television. I got the river. No, you need to get in the river. The river of the church, right? Amen? Along with other Christians. Don't you know when people hang out by themselves, they get loony? They do. I would, right? If I decided I don't need to be in church, I'm just going to do this thing on my own, you get a little loony. That's why Jesus is called the Good Shepherd, and he's looking for the sheep that wanders off, because that sheep must have ate some loco weed, right? And what is he going to be? He's going to be lunch for the wolf, for the lion, for the bear, right? Amen. Birds of a feather flock together. Hallelujah, right? So why church? Number five, because church is where prayer happens. Amen. Acts 12:5, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer, somebody say constant prayer, right, was offered to God for him by the church. Well, I can pray by myself in my closet, my war room. Well, praise God for your war room. But this is headquarters. This is where, you know, it doesn't matter how good. Have you ever seen, you know, Rambo, right? By himself. Good soldier, but by himself. Guess what? That's make-believe, right? No matter how good the soldier is, he's got to stay with the battalion. Stay with his commanding officer. Stay with his infantry, right? And so prayer happens in church, and when we pray together, it's more powerful. When we're linked together in our faith, it's more powerful, man. There's this common strength that comes when we are in agreement together, according to the word of God, laying hands where two or more are gathered together, you know, the scriptures. But church is a place of constant prayer. You are being prayed for, and you can bring your prayers here and lift us up. You know, we were part of putting out the fires in Australia this morning. We're part of the change happening in the nation this morning. Why? Because we took time to intercede together. Praise God. Somebody might have got healed this morning. Hallelujah. These are wonderful things. Why church? Number six, because church is where we're strengthened in the faith, in the faith. It's important to note that, right? Acts 16:5, so the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. So, good reason to come to church. I'm getting stronger in my faith, in the faith. Praise the Lord. And don't you know, we can all be strengthened in the faith. Amen? None of us has arrived to holiness and perfection. I mean, in spirit we are, yes. But we need to be being strengthened in the faith. And I'm very limited on what I can do by myself in that, right? Amen. Somebody say, I'm getting stronger. Hallelujah. Number seven, why church? Because church is where we're covered. Glory to God. We all need to be covered. Be covered. Acts 20:28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. We all need to be pastored. Not pestered. Pastored. Praise the Lord. We all need to. Why? Whose idea was it? It was the shepherd himself, wasn't it? Amen? Glory to God. A good place to be covered, come into church. Why church? Number eight, because church is where we're set apart from the world. Glory to God. I mean, it's so basic, but it's foundational to why we come to church. What are we saying when we come to church? I'm not in that river. I'm not in the marshes and the swamps. I'm in the river. Right? 1 Corinthians 1:2, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified, which means set apart in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So the church is bigger than this room, amen? I think we all understand that. But there's a lot of places like this that are meeting, having church around the world, and we're all part of the same body, amen? But coming to church is making a declaration that I am set apart from the course of this world. Hallelujah. Amen. Why church? Number nine, because church is where God's gifts are given. 1 Corinthians 1, I think I made a little typo there. Looks like it's verse 28. Apologies on that. It's probably correct in your notes. If you look at it, 1 Corinthians 12:28. And God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles, say apostles. Second, prophets, say prophets. Third, teachers. After that, miracles. and gifts of healings, helps, administrations, and varieties of tongues. These are gifts that the Lord pours out through the church. Amen? God has gifts, so we should show up to church expecting to receive a gift from Jesus every time. Somebody say every time. And also expect to be a gift. Because these gifts aren't just for God's generals. They're for the body of Christ. Amen? Like when Brother Randy was here, you know, a couple weeks ago. What they're really doing as I see it, is they're apostling. They travel around and build up churches in Mexico. And we sow into them. Isn't that awesome? So it's wonderful. You know, prophets, we talk about Brother Copeland and others, but prophecy is a gift for the body of Christ. It has to do with seeing. A lot of the prophecy over this year is that we will see things that the Lord wants us to see, visions and dreams. Amen? So whatever you're believing God for, come to church expecting to hear from the Lord. Has anybody ever, if you've been in church for more than a few days, come to church and like crystal clear, God said something to you and the pastor wasn't even talking about that? Why? Because you're in a place of hearing. It's like when you stick your head underwater, you can hear stuff that you couldn't above water, right? Amen? You're putting yourself in a place of that anointing and you start writing, man, that's good, that's good, that's good. And the Holy Ghost is bringing you closer to where he's calling you to be. Amen? The gifts. Somebody say, Lord, I receive your gifts. We're only going to get through the first 13 today, so otherwise we'd be here for a while. So praise the Lord. Number 10, why church? Because church is where God's order is established in our lives. Man, that's one of the things this blog I was checking out, kind of, she wasn't saying in so many words, but my life is out of control. I have no control over my life, kids and work and time and this. Don't you know church is what day of the week? The first day of the week. So what are you doing when you show up on the first day of the week at church? You're giving God the first part of the first day of the week. And what does he do with the rest of the week? He blesses it, doesn't he? Amen? What is he doing? He's bringing order to the chaos. The devil is all about chaos. God is all about order. And in this verse, 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not the author of confusion, which means disorder, but of peace, as in all the churches. Somebody say, all the churches of the saints. So this God wants in all his churches. Somebody say, order. He's bringing order to our lives. Praise the Lord. That's glorious news. Amen? Peace and order to our life. Number 11. Why church? Because church is where we receive our authority from the Lord. Amen? Ephesians 1:22-23. And he put all things, somebody say all things, under his feet and gave him to be head over all things, to the church. Now, a pastor didn't write that. He didn't go in and change it. Right? To the church. Somebody say, to the church. Which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. We're his representatives on the planet. So we ought to be getting together. Amen? And worshiping him and meeting together. But this authority, he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. So Jesus has delegated his authority to who? To the church. Somebody say, that's me. That's me. The church isn't a physical structure like that, but don't you know we need a physical structure to meet in? Praise the Lord. But you're the church. We're the church. We're his body, right? So authority, somebody say, I have authority from God. So if you have authority from the Lord, what should you be doing with that authority? Exercising it, using it, not allowing the devil to walk all over you. Amen? the most challenging things in my life, I believe, are exercising authority over my own flesh. Rick Renner, I was reading an article, and he ended it with, "If we can master ourselves, we can change the world." So he's given me authority over my own body, over my own appetites, over my own feelings and thoughts. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we come to Jesus, and we say, "Lord, I receive my authority in this area, whatever area it is." Hallelujah. How do we know it's his will? Well, is Jesus dealing with that thing? Is Jesus dealing with having a bad attitude or depression or sickness or jealousy or anger or hatred or lust or gossiping, unforgiveness? Is Jesus dealing with any of that stuff? Then nor should I. Is he, let me put it this way, is he putting up with it? Is he tolerating it? Then nor should I. Glory to God. Amen. Church is where we receive our authority from the Lord. Number 12. Why church? Because church is where the devil is reminded of his lowly position. Don't you love that one? Church is where the devil is reminded of his lowly position. Ephesians 3:10, to the intent that now, somebody say now, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church. Somebody say, by the church. To the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. That's demonic forces and spirits. The devil's team. The marsh team. The swamp team. Somebody say, not here, devil. Not here, devil. Devil, if you show up to church today, you are wasting your time. You're going to get in over your head. You're going to sink down into the marshes and the swamps where you belong. The blood of Jesus, devil, heals everybody today, sets every prisoner free. Amen. Prospers the body of Christ, saves people. Somebody say, devil, you lose. Devil, you lose. And I know coming to church takes commitment, right? Takes determination. So a lot of us have to step on some things coming to church every day. I got to get up again, get dressed again. Man, there's football on all day. It's raining. It's cold. I don't feel that great. I'm not in that great of a mood. I've had these issues. Forget it. Somebody say, put your shoes on. Get ready. Comb your hair. Come to church. Get yourself stirred up in God and be ready. Somebody say, I'm ready. Glory to God. And every mile you come, you're putting him down. The moment you take that step, I'm going. I'm coming. He's going down. Somebody say, he's going down. He's reminded of his defeat every time you show up here. Hallelujah. And finally, why church? Number 13, because church is where Jesus is king. Hello? Well, I thought Jesus was king everywhere. Well, turn the news on. He's not. Turn the TV on. He's not. Yet. Somebody say, he's coming, though. He's coming. But in the church is where he's in charge. I mean, that's a good reason to show up. To honor the king? Could I simply just show up and say, Your Majesty, at your service, thank you, sir. Thank you for being king, for being my God, for being my Lord. For the husband, it says, Ephesians 5:23, is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. Church is where Jesus is in charge. Man, I'll tell you what, that is a good reason to be in church. Because I don't know about you, but I want the Lord in charge of me. I want him in control of every aspect of me. And church is where it happens. Church is where that is that is stated for the rest of the week. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Well, you can all stand up on your feet now. We're just going to pray and commit our time to the Lord today. Somebody say, I'm glad I'm in church. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just lift your hands to the Lord and thank him today for his words to us. Praise you, Jesus. Just honor the King. Just say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you and I praise you today for inventing church, for building this church, Lord God. We thank you and we praise you, Jesus, for the church. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for all the great benefits of being in church, Jesus, and we give you the praise for it all. We bind the spirit of apathy off of your body, Lord Jesus, and we declare people are coming back to church, coming back to Jesus from the north, south, east, and west today. We declare them saved. We declare them clean and forgiven and washed in Jesus' name. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. All the praise and all the glory. Thank you, Lord, for your church. We pray, Lord, for your church across the world, for the North America region, South America, Europe, Asia, Russia, Africa, South Africa. Your church, Lord, that's even in places where it's illegal to have it. We cover them, Lord, with our prayers. We cover them, Lord, with the name and the power of Jesus today. And we speak your blessing on it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Thanks for coming this morning. And coffee's on. Praise God.